Recording in progress.
So now we are recording. Be careful of what you say.
Did I click it off?
You say okay.
The little board.
You say okay.
Okay. I think after last week, I'm going to apologize. I think I was frustrated last week.
Yeah, you were.
And I think I showed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said all along, God's teaching me too here. And I said I wanted to move on to the judgment seat of Christ. But the truth is, I felt like there were some things left on the table that we can go over and kind of clean up where,
you
know. You
need to feel bad because none of the rest of us ever did. This is only on you.
I'll say this. Trying to concentrate.
Moses get a little frustrated when he did it for him for a minute.
And once again, it's not because of you.
Yeah.
It's because I feel I'm not doing a good enough job presenting what I'm trying to present.
And you're not. And it's not your job. All right?
Yeah.
All you got to do is present. What the Holy Spirit does to the rest of us, that's between us and God.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, well, first of all, I lost a tooth this week, so try not to focus here. I know when Dave said that about his head, every time I talked to him, I would look at his forehead. So I'm trying to concentrate on the scripture.
Can you still whistle?
I'm going to develop it, probably.
Lisa, give you any money for
it? On the serious bird, you didn't show me.
No, there's nothing under the pillow but a tick.
Yeah, he was pulling ticks off his dog this week.
So I wanted to chase some things. Thank you, Gayla. Because the last 2 weeks, yes. The last 2 weeks, Gayla has said things where if I would have chased it, I think it would have cleaned some things up. And I want to chase some things that are associated with Armageddon and that maybe there's some confusion there. One of them was, what does it mean to rule with a rod or to reign with a rod? And there's this idea that during the millennial that there's going to be a reign 1,000 years over the wicked with a rod of iron. And we're going to look at that. I think from what I see, and I believe Gayla has seen it too, it's a one-time event where he destroys them with the rod. And then what I want to do is I want to move on to Revelation 20 again, where there was seemed to be a lot of confusion over Revelation 20, who's there, who's in the pit, who's coming out of the pit, you know, who are these people, where are they coming from, upon the earth. Kev, I'll say this, the two words, when the Philistines came upon Samson, that's one word, upon, U-P-O-N. They come up on the earth. That's U-P, stop, O-N. Those are two different words and two different meanings. Mm. So that's all I got to say. We'll chase that if you want, if we have time. But I just want to go, so listen to the rule with the rod of the nations, okay? I'll read through this. And then, you know, we could discuss it if you want, but I just want to show you some verses. I am going to have some people read. Gayla, you want Psalm 2?
Sure.
You're going to read Psalm 2, John, Psalm 110. Okay, so I'm going to read a couple of these. And then after I read this, Gayla, you can pick it up. Revelation, so here it is, Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So you can see right here, this is a generalization. This can mean anything. We know who it is, and he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Go ahead, Gayla.
Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
So there's a lot of meat here in this psalm. First of all, what event are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the day of wrath. So what event is that? That's the second coming.
Yeah.
And what is he going to do? He says, I think the key is 8 and 9, that the heathen are going to be given for an inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. But then what's he going to do to them? Verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So it sounds to me, when you smash something, there's nothing left of it. Okay, and you know, one more thing. I caught this in, look at Psalm 1. I'm just giving you the verses. Psalm 1, if you just read, look at the, let's just read it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not, I'm going to read it again. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what?
Perish.
Two people, believers, unbelievers. This is the point I'm trying to make. You can disagree with me on who lives through the millennium, but all I can see here are verses that tell me they don't get what we get.
Right.
And to smash them with a rod is to destroy them. Go ahead, John.
The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the duties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head.
So once again, what event are we talking about here? If he's going to drink from the brook, he just came to the earth, right? So this is the second coming. And look at what he's saying. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of his enemies. And what's he going to do to them? Verse 5. Thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge the heathen. This is a common theme. The heathen are judged on that day. Right? And he shall fill the places with the dead bodies. If you're dead, you're dead. You don't continue. Right? And he shall wound the heads over many countries. So, once again, the rod that people want to say, well, you know, Pelosi didn't clean my stall out, so I'm gonna get her with the rod because, you know, she didn't make the bread right. This is not what I believe he's talking about. He's going to destroy them with his rod. And crush them as potters. And what I see are constantly two people, believers and unbelievers. One get the kingdom, the other get hell. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, so Psalm 125. Doug, you want to read 125?
Sure.
Everybody ready? The righteous. No. Thanks for humbling me, Lord. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel.
See, two people, verse 5, two people, the workers of iniquity, they get burned. The people of peace, they get the kingdom. And once again, now I know he's talking, he said this is his rod, but this is, so you have two rods. You have the rod of the wicked, and you have the rod of God. But the rod of the wicked shall not rest in the lot of the righteous. So they don't get what we get. I mean, this to me just seems to be clear. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, I'll read this, 1 through 4. Okay? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. So, you know, I mean, we know that these are the seven spirits of God, and, you know, but clearly, what is he talking, what event is he talking about here? He's talking about his second coming, when he takes the kingdom.
Could you read on right there, because there's great promises following that.
Yep.
All right, after he strikes with the rod, there's some things that happen. Verse 5, and the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and the faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion shall feed, and the fatling together. Little children shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, and shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of an ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand in a crocodile's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters as the waters cover the sea. All right? So after he strikes, after this happens, something else happens. So
a perfect world.
A perfect world. All right? Now, in this striking with the rod and breaking as a potter's vessel, what I see, right? Amen? You see it. I think you got it. Yeah. You know where I'm going. Coming down.
Water comes down.
Amen. Yeah, it comes down and it crushes the wicked.
Yeah.
But there's also the remnant, the things that are left. If I take this vessel right here and I hit it with a rod and it breaks to 1,000 pieces, I still got 1,000 pieces laying around. It might take 7 years to clean up.
Right, yes. Yeah, and see, this answers some of these questions that seem to be contradictory to the person. This answers them.
Yeah, so the wicked in all of their wickedness is crushed at the weight of the righteousness of God, the righteous rod of the Lord. That doesn't take away all of the implements of unrighteousness.
That's right.
But that those implements still need to be cleaned
yes.
up. And there'll be those who help in the cleaning.
See, to me, you know, a lot, I'll see it, but to me, when we see a lot of the verses that seem to be contradictory, but there are clear verses.
Yeah.
Clear verses that I have to readjust the way I saw these contradictory
yes.
verses, because there are clear verses in your Bible that say the righteous and the heathen don't dwell together.
Right.
Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of earth. Neither fornicator nor sinner shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Those are clear verses then I need to adjust, because there are no contradictions in your Bible.
Right. Right.
The contradiction is in my feeble brain. So I need to readjust those verses that seem to be contradictory or controversial to verses that are clear teaching of those events. Does it make sense?
I think those other verses are mitigational.
Right.
They help you direct it.
Yes.
They're not contradictory. They are saying
that
there's a little bit of flavor to it that I need you to see.
That's right. Yeah, go study this. Yes. Be a Berean. Gayla?
So I was just going to say it goes along with the whole picture in the Old Testament. God took them through the Red Sea miraculously.
Amen.
But on the other side, they had battles to fight
and
to clean up. But now we have land to clean up, but there's no more battles.
That's right.
It doesn't speak of having to fight, but that we would just have the...
And think of this, too. So think of weapons that are going to be burned for 7 months and bodies. What if these are not... If he's going to burn up the this dimensional earth, right? Think of the ones that are coming down and their weapons of warfare. Think of the demonic kingdom that is coming up. They don't... When it says they have chariots, spears, swords, they're not talking about what Caesar fought with. They're talking about spiritual weapons of warfare that maybe it's going to take longer because they're spiritual beings to burn their bodies and their weapons, and there's a cleansing period. Even though you're on a perfect earth when Christ comes, there's still a cleansing period during that time. I mean, it's clear. Right? Does it make sense?
You shatter a vessel, a potter's vessel, you still got to sweep it up.
That's right.
And I mean, I'm real simple, but when I see something shattered, that means I got to get a broom and a dustpan, right? You don't just leave it there.
Well, and I forget where he does talk about the 7 months and 7 years. Go ahead, please.
Ezekiel 39:12. Here's the one about the burial. In 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land.
Yeah.
And then back up in 8, behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God.
Okay, so, and why is he doing it? First, there's a cleansing period. Second of all, it's not even fire from wood. It's a different type of fire that these things are being burned with. And I think there's also a verse, if you can find, where it says it's being done for a renown. It's being done for a reason. It's being done to glorify God. For God to show you, this is what I did to your enemies. What's wrong with him doing that for 7 years that we passed by? We see God did this for us. Do you see it anywhere, John? And somewhere talking
about 13. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God.
You see why he's doing it? To just say things like, well, you know, who are these people that are being buried? There's a reason for it. Keep reading. Being a Berean, keep reading. He's doing it for a reason, to glorify him.
Mm-hmm. And back again in Isaiah 11, and picking up where I left off, so it's 11:11-12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people, all right, which shall be left from the from Assyria to Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, and from Elam, and Shinar, all those places in the islands of the sea. And he shall set up ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed, thank you, of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And he goes on and talks about, even after this, the destroying, there are still people being gathered.
Yeah.
There are, so it is the end of the world as we know it, but it isn't the end of humankind, right? His people, the people that live in Egypt, the people that live in Assyria, the people that are his people. He's gathering them. He's gathering them together.
That's right.
And
so, and then that's the next event, the judgment
seat of Christ,
where people are raised Mm-hmm. So everyone's resurrected at that point, are raised, some to the kingdom and some to damnation.
Yeah.
And we'll
so
see
this question, what?
I don't think so.
Well, what does he say?
And his people shall be left from Syria, from his people, the people of God.
The people of God. People can still don't.
His is capital H-I-S, right? That indicates God's
people. Just because the word says people doesn't mean flesh and blood. It could be a people resurrected. They're still his people, right?
Right. Well, they're his people, and then there's the people that conquered. And he doesn't say he's gathering them. He says he's gathering his people, the people
right.
that belong to
and
Christ.
And what happens?
In those places.
When is the gathering? The harvest,
the
right?
Harvest.
At the end of the world. And what does he do? He separates sheep from goat. Mm-hmm. Where do the goat go? They go to damnation.
Yeah.
Where do the sheep go?
They
into
go
the kingdom.
Into the kingdom, yeah.
See, that's what I say. I mean, when you see the word people, our natural reaction is, well, human beings. Well, I could be resurrected and be his people.
Won't I still be a people in the resurrected body? Would I not be a people then?
I would think. Absolutely.
So
we're his people.
Yeah, we're being
whether
changed.
You're in this body
Adam
or in that
was a
body.
People before he fell, right? A person,
yeah.
a human. And but he was surrounded in the glory of God.
That's right.
Until sin entered in and something changed metaphysical to him. Something's going to change us, but we're still a
his people.
Right? We're,
verse 11 says, in the second time. Did
yeah.
you catch that?
Yeah.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the
second
time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's
been here once.
Time is very...
Yeah. And he's going to gather the Gentiles with the Jew, right? The same event. He's been here once to witness to them.
Yeah.
2,000 years ago, he's coming again the second time to rescue them and bring a third of them into his kingdom.
So when did he come the first time to rescue people?
At his birth.
At his birth.
Right? So he's coming again the second time.
And so he came, and his whole goal was to seek and save that was lost.
That's
to
right.
save a people group, to give a people who are in the lineage of the blood of Christ, right, all the way from Adam, all the way down, or I guess I should say from Eve.
Yeah.
But anyhow, all the way down, those that scarlet thread, that those who believe in the Lord, Abraham believed in the Lord and was counted unto him for righteousness, he's saved.
Well, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into Abraham. What was Abraham? Abraham was the father, his seed of many,
of
believers.
Yes.
He's not just the seed of Jewish people. He's the seed of believers, which
right.
would include the Gentiles.
And it is the believers, right, is the people group that God collects the second time. He's collected us the first time, the first gleaning, and then there's the second. No, you can't glean twice.
Well, no, we've talked about this. There's the gleaning, right? The gleaning, we're caught up, we're going to get into this. The judgment, mm-hmm. the harvest, the rapture is an order to it.
Order to it.
There's an order to it. The dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive. Well, then there's also Jewish people that have to be resurrected. That's Ezekiel 37. Well, if they're the blessed in Revelation 20, blessed is he who had part in the first resurrection, that means there's a curse that has to be resurrected at that time. So the blessed are first, and then the resurrection of the cursed are resurrected to damnation.
Even in, see, we I think we're trying to put this in our time period, our understanding of the rotational clock. That
right.
Kind of time. All right. But the scripture says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and in a moment and twinkling of an eye,
right.
there's a second.
Yep.
All right. The dead in Christ are already in the paradise of God.
I don't think it says it that way.
Okay, yeah.
I think there is a time period that the dead are raised first.
Yeah.
Because otherwise there's no reason to say that. If,
right,
there's,
right.
if there's no time
right.
difference,
yes.
you wouldn't say first.
Right. So we're moving a little bit farther ahead than I wanted to.
Too bad.
I know. but here's what I'm saying. This thing about the resurrection,
yes.
this is going to be settled when we study the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
And John 5:28-29 says it's within an hour. And that's why I think the whole order of the resurrection, of the blessed, and of the damned are literally within an hour. And the dead in Christ first, then we which are alive, then Jewish people, and then the damned. So let's just push that off to the side. Let's keep looking at the rod of iron here.
Right.
Okay, so Daniel two, we've talked about this, about the mingle. You guys weren't here from it, but we talked about this. We studied Daniel chapter 2, where there's going to be a mingled kingdom. They're coming. The devils are coming. They're coming up out of the pit, and they're going to mingle themselves with the human race. So they're going to mingle, and I'm not talking sexually. I don't think, it says, because we'll look at it, and Daniel says that they're going to want to mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they will not cleave one to another. He's talking about this demonic horde that is coming up out of the pit from the iron kingdom, the fourth dimension, and human beings.
Right.
So let's look at it. I just want to show you something right here. Keep this in mind. Daniel chapter 2, verse 2. Tell me which one is different. We've talked about this. What is the number four? Dimensional, spiritual,
yeah.
Dimensional.
Right.
And the fourth one is usually the different one. Usually.
Right.
Listen to what it says right here. Daniel 2, chapter 2. Remember this. And the king commanded all the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. Four. Which one's different? The Chaldeans are different. They're not. I can tell what an astrologer is, a magician,
yeah.
A soothsayer. A Chaldean is a people.
Yeah.
Remember that, the Chaldeans. Okay, so now let's move over to, we've talked about this, but we're going to keep looking at it. Daniel 2:40, we'll look at 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things as iron that breaketh, all these things shall be break in pieces and shall bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes of potter's clay, humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of iron, the iron kingdom. The kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And the toes and the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle them. See, who's they? They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as thou sawest that the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, God, the great God, had made unto known the king, which shall come to pass here future, hereafter, and the dream is there is certain, and the interpretation thereof for sure. Okay, but look at verses 30, now count again. So here's an image, does this sound familiar? There's going to be an image. There's an image here. So let's count. And the image and the image's head was of fine gold. And his breast and his arms were of silver. His belly and his thighs were of brass. And his legs were what? Fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Iron kingdom. And it's mixed, and the toes are mixed with iron and potter's clay. The fourth kingdom is the iron kingdom that is going to mingle with man. And what's he going to do to them? It's right there. He's going to shatter them. He's going to break them in pieces, verse 44. And he's going to consume all these kingdoms. Says it again there. Okay, Daniel, that was Daniel. You know what? Let's look at Daniel 7. I didn't want to go there, but we're going to go there. So, Daniel 7. 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, and devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And the ten horns which were on his head. This is Revelation 13, right? And the ten horns which were on his head, and the others which came up before him, with three fell. See, Satan's kingdom's divided. They're at war with each other. So they're not on the same page. He's going to overtake them. Three fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake great, very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. the same horn make war with the saints and prevail. That's all familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It's Revelation 13:7.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah.
We're not removed. We get slaughtered by the Antichrist until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and at the time that the saints possess the kingdom. Thus, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, and shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and tread it down, and break it in pieces. Okay, so, and then there you go, the ten, it goes on about the ten horns. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50. Of course, being in Ezekiel doesn't help you.
Sure it does. It just doesn't help you with Jeremiah.
Okay, Jeremiah 50. Here we go. 35. Look at 35. Tell you what event is this? Who is this? And who are these people? A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, mystery Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they that dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they that shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and their chariots, upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of hers, and they shall become as a woman. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is a land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Therefore, the wild beasts of the desert, and the wild beasts of the islands that shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell there, and it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. What did he do to Sodom? Was there anybody left after Sodom except the believer?
No.
I don't know. These things seem to be clear to me. Okay. So, look at 1 Corinthians. Now, this has nothing to do with, but I want to show you something. We just read where Daniel said we're going to judge, right? But we know Christ is the judge. So, 1 Corinthians 6. Alan, you want to read 6? 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3.
Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world, and that if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things than that pertain to this life?
When is this? I see two judgments in your Bible. I see the great white throne, where they go to the great white throne and they're judged. And then I see another judgment where Christ comes here and judges the world, and we're standing beside him. And we're told, now, I don't think this means I'm going to sit there and go, now, Biden, I think, should get, I don't think that's how it works. I think he's going to judge the goat by the sheep, and Christ is going to judge,
mm-hmm.
Right? But what event is this? We're going to judge. They're going to come before us, and they're going to bow before us. Look at Revelation chapter 2.
Just a side note here. It says, because of the union with Christ, we will be associated with him in this judgment during the millennium.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and what does he say about his throne? He says, the Father has given me on my throne. You shall sit in my throne with me. I'm not the one actually doing the judging, but he's judging them by us. Right?
Because we we have the righteousness of Christ on us.
Yes.
So they can't stand near us.
That's
it's
right.
Not that we have any power
That's
over
right.
them or that we're going to finally give them their justice.
Yes.
It's because the light is in us.
You see how this clicks now, right? And then, like you said, it's not because he's given us the authority to judge people. He's
well,
judging them
people.
By what we believe.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All
exactly.
Handling is standing as the glory of God. That he, we were saved that he could show his glory through all generations.
That's right.
That God showed his power through the broken vessels that surrendered to him. And in that, the unrighteous fall.
That's right.
They cannot stand.
And he says
that. And Satan would have it that nobody stood with Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Because he would just
yeah.
say, it's just you and I, just like it was in the garden or before
right.
the world was created.
That's right.
But it's not going to be. Because yep. all of those righteous ones.
That's right.
Give me glory.
Well, back in Matthew 19, verse 28,
yeah.
Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration,
mm-hmm.
when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right. And what did he call that event? The regeneration.
The regeneration.
So what do you think that means? It's a regenesis. Everything. This is Romans 8, where all of creation is waiting for the second coming of Christ. We just read that in Isaiah.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be redone when he comes. And Alan, that's a perfect verse. His throne of glory comes here. At the great white throne, they go there.
Mm-hmm.
At the great white throne, maybe we're there, but that doesn't seem to be anything that tells me we're there. But we're here at the judgment seat of Christ. I really want to get into it, but this is now I see what God's doing. He's really setting up the next teaching here.
But we're his body. There
yeah.
is no difference
yeah.
between
yes.
us. Amen. We're the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the head, we're the body.
Yeah,
well, right.
Yeah, there's no division.
The head judges the body.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay,
the
so
Son, the Father, the Son is in the Father, and we are in the Son.
That's right.
It's like those little Russian dolls. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Open, you know.
I thought when you and Allison did that time with the sheep, I thought that was perfect.
Yeah.
That's his so, kingdom coming, and this going down.
And in that, remember, there's still going to be things that need to be done.
Yeah, right.
The end of everything.
Right.
This is the beginning of
That's
everything.
Right. And he's setting up a theocracy. He's setting up an eternal government
right.
that we're going to be part of. There's going to be roles to be played. There's going to be things to do. I don't think he's going to come and we're going to be sitting by a creek playing hymns.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so Revelation 2.
I want a liquor one.
So, Alan read it, we just read it again, and that we're going to judge. Look at what he says. Where am I? Revelation 2, look at 16. Here's the warning. Incidentally, he's talking to the church here.
Yeah.
Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He's talking to Pergamos. He's talking to the church. These aren't church ages. These are types of people. Types of Christians. When does the Lord fight with the sword of his mouth? 7 years before or at the end? There's another verse right there that just destroys pre-trib. He's warning a church, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and fight with you with the sword of my mouth, which means they have to be there when he fights with the sword of his mouth. Okay, verse 25. But that hope which ye have, hold fast till I come. Hold unto what? Hold to what?
We hold on to the right doctrine. We hold on to Christ.
That's right.
Hang on.
I'm coming. Hang on. Why? Because there's going to be a great falling away
mm-hmm.
when the man of sin
yeah.
is born.
And thus the great warning about another angel
That's
or
right.
a person preaching another
yep.
gospel.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's saying, hang on, stop following every conspiracy out there.
Yeah.
Stop following every wind of doctrine. Get in this. Because
right.
even the ones who say they're on their side and they are teaching these conspiracy theories, I don't know if they're true. I don't know if they are. But I know this.
Right. And whether they're true or not, it doesn't change this.
And That's right.
I mean, there could be all those things that we're looking at. Well, that's not really a conspiracy because it's really happening. Okay, it is really happening. But what's the end of the story?
That's right. I'm not a child of God.
Amen.
No matter what, like we said earlier, the famines, the pestilence, the food, taking away the meat, destroying the food processing plants. Am I not a child of God?
Right.
Well, I'm not going to lose sleep over all these things. Proverbs says, I have not seen my children begging bread.
If there's poison in the water, will God not give a plant to fill in the water?
You know what I'm told? Curtis, you know what I'm told? This is what I'm told to do. You get your meal, you get your drink, and you sit down and you go, Lord, bless this meal.
Amen. Right.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
You know, and it's all right. And so, I was reading through that. It just popped up, you know, because there's this snake venom thing that's going around right now. But as I was reading, it's too long to get into. But anyhow, I was reading through scripture, and I came across that place where there was the water, Mara. And God,
bitter water.
Yeah. It was bitter water. It was poisoned water. And so God said, cut this particular plant, throw it in the water, it'll be made clean. And so, yeah, there may be, there's fluorine in your water, all right? Pray over it.
Yes.
Throw the branch, the rod of Jesse into it, and it'll be clean.
I think the thing you have to be mostly afraid of is the things that are mostly true.
Yeah.
Right.
Because a little leaven, leaveneth
the whole
lump.
That's right.
So, and Satan's a master at trying to be a copy.
Yes.
But he's not a perfect copy.
And they do sound end times-ish. Right? They do sound biblical and end times this. It seems to make sense.
And those people that are going to follow the Antichrist
looking
for the miracle worker who said was supposed to come first.
Yeah. Yep.
And if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect.
Yep.
Right? Now, the difference between the nearly elect and the very elect are the ones who get deceived and the ones who don't.
That's right.
The ones who look at the events that's happening around us and not look into the certainty of the Word of God.
Stay here.
Stay here. Amen.
That's right.
Stay here. Stay
alive. Yes. Yes. We keep saying we're Bereans. Let's be Bereans.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 25. But that which ye have, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh. Overcometh what? Nothing? he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. When did Jesus say the end is? When his coming. What is the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Well, I'm coming in the clouds. It's the end of the world. I will give him power over the nations. Give us power over the nations. Nations, remember that word. And he shall, what? Rule over them with a rod of iron as vessels of potter. They shall be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. So by us, he's going to destroy them with a rod. Vessels, potters, shattered, broken. There's nothing left of them. Okay. So here we go. Now we're going to start moving into Revelation 19. We're going to look at Revelation 19, and I'm going to ask the question, who are these people, and where did they go? Because this is going to lead into Revelation 20, because I want to look at Revelation 20. So once again, Revelation 19:11, I'm just going to read. You tell me, we know what event is this. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. Two events. He's going to judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with him.
And his vesture is dipped.
Yeah.
He's the one doing the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's the one fighting. He's the one slaughtering them.
Yeah.
And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. Here, 15 is key. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. What event is this? This is Armageddon. This is Revelation 14 when the blood is filled up to the horse's bridles. He's slaughtering them with the sword. He's ruling them with the rod of iron. And he's treading the winepress. They're being killed. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw the angel stand in the sun and cried with a loud voice to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come gather yourselves unto the great supper of God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and small. Sounds to me like it's everybody. Sounds to me like it's the devil, all men. This is Armageddon. We've studied who these fowls are, right? They're feeding on the carcasses of the dead.
How long would it take to consume that many people?
Right.
Even if all the eagles and the buzzards and the chickens got out there and ate their belly fill, would it happen like a half a minute?
Right.
I was cleaning out Steve Stein's chicken den, right? There were a nest of mice in there, all right? So the chickens, when they saw those little bitty mice over there, they started getting them. All right? It still took them all day to eat all those mice. They killed them as quick as they saw them. They killed them, and then they'd eat them later. So they killed them, and then they went back home and ate them up later.
Right. But clearly there's a slaughter going on here.
But they don't eat right away again.
Right.
Like hawks and eagles, birds of prey.
They
eat something, and then
they got it out. Yeah. If they have days to digest, to break down that protein that they just consumed.
But the point is there's a slaughter going on here. A slaughter of the human race.
Yeah.
So where did they go? Where did these souls that were slaughtered go?
Yeah.
Are they on the earth? Are they dwelling? Did they make it through the great tribulation and the wrath of God and survived it? They just got slaughtered. Where did they go? They went to their place.
Right.
The
flesh people, the carcasses, they're there being consumed, right, by the beast and all that kind of stuff. But really, this carcass is going to turn to dust, right? Who's the real you?
That's
is
right.
Is it what we're seeing? It's the spirit man that lives within you.
That's right.
The real you. That's
this
real
has to come off. Even for them, it has to come off. It is appointed for man once to die, then the judgment.
Yeah.
Then the judgment. So I don't see anybody surviving this.
And you know what's cool? He's not only bringing all these people there, he's bringing all the fowl there too. Everybody's being gathered. We're going here.
And I'll say this, you guys know me. I don't think I think these are earthly. I also think there's a heavenly realm of fowls and things, beasts, going on here too. Because they're coming too. Okay, so.
The angels that came and exposed themselves, showed themselves to Ezekiel and his little buddy, right? That was there when the Syrian army surrounded them. They were in chariots with horses of fire.
I didn't
think it was the wild stallion that you see.
No.
It was
the earthly just represents the dimensional.
Right.
It's not just angels. There's creatures there. There's beasts. There's fowls.
Well, it also mentioned, you just finished reading it, that if you'd have carried on a little further, it says, in the armies of heaven follow.
That's right.
So Christ came with the armies of heaven.
And are we not part of that army? We just got caught up.
Yeah.
We're part of that army. Yeah. But yet we're clothed. He's clothed. Okay, like Alan said, let's keep reading. And so listen to what it's saying. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before which he deceived them and received the mark of the beast. And them that worshipped the image, both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So the lake of fire is not hell. It's not the bottomless pit. It's not prison, right? It's something different. That's the second death. That's when 1,000 years later, they get thrown. The unbeliever gets thrown. But yet these two are going immediately to the lake of fire, which tells me they had to already die once. This is more evidence to me that probably Judas Iscariot and the false prophet are devils that lived in the past, died, and now are alive again, and are being thrown immediately into the lake of fire, which is the second death.
And just wrap your mind around this for a little. The madman of Gadara, how many demonic beings were in him?
Legion.
A legion. It's not just one.
I think what I really tried to do here is just show you the dimensional, the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
That there is a real spiritual realm. Yes, are we talking about earthly things?
Yes.
I'm not saying we're not. But there's also another component to this, and it's the spiritual.
Well, again, that madman of Gadara, they came out of him. He survived.
That's right.
They died.
That's right.
And it's not physically spatial.
That's right.
It's not like
they
filled people all up and there was no more room.
Yeah.
This is a spiritual situation versus his physical.
Yes.
They inhabited his physical, but it was all spiritual.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So look at verse 21. We're going to keep moving on. In the remnant were slain with the sword that sat upon the horse, of him that sat upon the horse, and the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So once again, this is everybody. This is all, I mean, so the question is, he's gathering the nations. First of all, they're coming to Jerusalem, to surround Jerusalem, but he is going to put a hook in their mouth
and draw
them to Armageddon. He will turn thee, that's what he's talking about, Ezekiel 38, 39, I will turn thee back, and I will draw. They're coming to beat Jerusalem, and he's drawing them, turning them back to Armageddon. He's going to slaughter the devils of this world that have been thrown, come out of the pit, thrown down to the earth, and humans. Everyone's being slaughtered here in Armageddon.
The remnant, the human parts?
That's right, they're the remnant.
They're the remnant.
So, where did they go, Curtis? Where did these people that just got slaughtered go?
Well, their body died.
Right.
Right? And their spirit went to where everybody who died.
They don't get the kingdom.
Right. They went to
They don't get heaven.
Yeah.
They go to their place.
Went to their place. And at the judgment seat, the grave gives up the dead, the sea gives up the dead that are in them, hell gives up the dead that are in them, and they all stand before God before they're cast out.
So I
thought four.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Is that
four?
Yeah. So, Gayla, here was last week where you got me, and I said, if I would have just continued with what you said. We're going to keep reading. Revelation 20. Okay. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and he had a great chain in his hand. Okay, we don't even need to talk about this. He's not talking about a John Deere chain, right? We know what's going on here. So, an angel comes down, he's got a chain, and what's he going to do? And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, okay, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. Him! Okay, he shut him up, and set a seal on him, that he should not deceive the nations.
Right.
That he should not. He's separated from them down there.
Okay.
They're down there. They just got defeated at Armageddon. They went down to the bottom. It's bottomless. And he's separate from there. Why? Because he is not allowed to communicate with them. Right?
It's in solitary confinement.
That's right. Until verse 3, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, then he must be loosed for a little season. Okay, so there's a whole lot going on here. First of all, he's the one being put, Paul. Isaiah 14, 15 to 20. Listen to what it says about him and him going down to hell. This is what I'm talking about. This is about, it's not just that they're all wandering around down there. They're in their own prison down there. They're not allowed to communicate. They're not allowed to see each other. He's not allowed to be down there influencing them. Right? Are you there? 15 to 20.
15.
Listen to where he's going with them.
15 to 20, right?
15 to 20.
Okay. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch,
and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial.
Say it again.
Thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned.
Read that verse again.
They shall not be joined.
Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people.
So the seed
of evildoers shall never be renowned.
Isaiah 14.
They're going down. They're going to meet him in hell, but yet he's going to be separated from them down there. They're not going to be with him. He's going to be in his own place because he's not allowed to go out and deceive the nations that are down there.
Well, it's also a shaming.
Exactly.
Okay, the people are starting to see their own shame. You're the one who's deceived the world.
Right.
You're cast down.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're one of us.
Now you're lower than we are.
That's right.
You know what?
Yep.
They talk to him. He doesn't say a thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does this sound
familiar?
The rich man and Lazarus, they're communicating. They can see. They can see, but they can't get out.
You know, we followed Tom all this time. Are you kidding me?
Okay, so once again, and why is he being locked up, Al? Because so he can't deceive the nations. But then he's going to be loosed for a little season. Why? To deceive the nations. And I don't understand why it's so hard to believe that these people who hate God, you read this through the book of Revelation, even during that last time, they're cursing him. They hate God. Why they can't be deceived again? Right? Let's put it this way. They're down there. They're in their prison. They can't get out. They're being tormented. They're trying to open a gate. They can't get out. All of a sudden, 1,000 years later go by, and a sea is removed. A gulf is removed. A portal is removed. And now they can go out. Right? They're not going to take it. And they got a guy going, let's go get him. The portal's open. Let's go get them. I don't understand why it's so hard that these people who have been deceived their whole life can't be deceived again to come up out of their torment.
Well, these are the twos. Christ died on the cross,
yeah.
Died, and the disciples said, we've been following this guy, what's going on?
That's right.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
Pride.
It is.
Pride will
pride.
Lead people to their... They'll do something that... What amazes me is like the kid who gets in trouble at the supper table.
Yeah.
And he stomps off and says, then I'm going to bed.
That's right.
Well, he didn't need his supper.
That's
he
right.
Did that hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. So
pride will make you do, you know, they say, why cut off your nose to spite your face?
Yeah.
Your pride will have you do that.
So look at the one who's leading the deception. Revelation 12 says that when he is cast out of earth, he knows he has but a short time, right? He knows that his end is near, Armageddon is coming, but yet 1,000 years later, he's leading the revolt. He's deceived. What makes me think that the people that are on his side can't be deceived again? And
so
I just...
Real quick,
is this to show them that they would still not repent?
Yeah.
Like,
well, even
they
saw,
they see him as he is.
Yeah, they cried out in the rocks.
Yet he
says
some magic words to them,
mm-hmm.
and they all take off again. Like,
that's right.
Is this the hell is that you chose wrong
again? I think Doug's brought it up before. I think the 1,000 years, the reason they're down there, that's their time of service before they get the real punishment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's their...
Right.
Holding
sentence. Yeah,
they
do. Yeah.
So the
money
doesn't happen on the earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it absolutely happens on the earth.
My kingdom comes, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is. It's coming on, His kingdom is coming on the earth.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's something.
I see where the confusion is now that we're talking about this a little bit. Because, all right, there's 1,000 years, right? And we're ruling and reigning with Christ. Actually, we're just in union with Christ, complete and total unity with Christ on this planet. Now, while we're on this planet, Satan has been locked up for 1,000 years, right? And then at the end of the 1,000 years, he comes back. Now, at the last day, is that before or after the 1,000 years? I think that's where the real confusion.
But Jesus clearly puts when the last day is. The resurrection is the last day. The end of the world is the last day. He puts that in his second coming. So I have to believe that last day is his second coming, because when he comes, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Right. So was there 1,000 years of peace before the last day?
Right.
I think that's where the confusion is.
No, they've confused us.
Right.
They've confused us. Well, they've done this. They don't understand what the last day means, what the hour means. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. The Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
They have confused us, and there have been so many things that have been drilled.
Darby,
I never read
Clarence Larkin.
And you've been influenced by this. I guarantee anybody who attends a church. I heard somebody last week say, Tubal and Meshach is Tobolsk. The first time that appears is in here. Meshach and Tubal are
be
Turkey.
Careful, because what you're holding up
is
in Schofield.
Say, right, there
it's
you go.
Schofield's dispensational truth Bible. He took this dispensation, and I'll say it again, Wendy. I don't want to harp on this. I know you haven't been taught it. You haven't been taught it. But anybody who is a Christian and has listened to any kind of Bible teaching that has been taught by pastors, gone to college, they have been taught it. Whether you realize it or not, you have been taught it. It is clear Tubal and Meshach are in Turkey. Clement said it. It has nothing to do
with
it.
I mentioned Tubal's too. I don't think Russia is a...
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I just imagine that they would see a similarity of words.
I was taught, from Bible college.
Yeah.
I did Bible college. Now, I didn't go off to it, but I went to Open Door, and they did Liberty Bible Institute. And Wilmington's Guide to the Bible says that is Russia. Rush.
Yeah, that's
Russia. All right, but when you look back in history and you look at the first time it's mentioned in Genesis, Japheth, right?
Japheth, yep.
Japheth.
Japheth. Gharma. That's the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
That's that area. And, I'm trying to say is, you unknowingly quoted the dispensationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, we have been fed these things, and it's... To be able to learn, you have to unlearn.
Right.
Well,
we know that.
But a lot of...
But I'm saying is the influence it had.
Right.
That you would even mention it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you believe it. It's the influence that it has had on us. I say it again. It was very easy for me to come out of Eastern Orthodox. Right? I'm reading this. I'm going... You're wrong.
Right.
Dispensationalism? I've had to unlearn a lot of things to be taught by God. The day of the Lord is not 1,000-year period. It's one day. They say it's 1,000-year period. They say, he didn't even know God. He says God is like Putin. God is a principality, right? They don't even know what they're talking about. That's all I'm saying is I know you haven't been taught it. But we have been influenced by them.
Oh, yeah, it prevails everywhere.
Yeah.
I only know of two places, two churches that I know of that are not dispensational.
Right.
Everybody else I've ever been influenced by is dispensational.
Two King James churches I've gone to, one a Baptist, they were dispensationalists. Okay, so...
We were at one time until I read my Bible.
Okay, so let's move on. Look at, once again, Revelation 23, it says, and cast him into the bottomless, and shut him up, and put a seal on him, that he should deceive nations no more, till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. Look at verse 7. Verse 7?
Of what chapter?
Revelation 20.
Because you said
23,
mine only goes to
22.
Okay,
I actually started to turn them without even thinking. See how much I trust you?
Don't ever trust me.
You'll have a form of truth.
Is it 20 verse
So we're in Revelation 20.
Wait a second. Wait
keep
a
your
second.
Finger there.
That's the second time. I apologize. All right? Seriously. I don't mean anything by it. It's a joke. But yeah. I just...
Absolutely.
Just so we're clear.
Believe me. I love you guys. I really do. I love you guys. So until the... Look at the... Towards the end, it says, should be fulfilled. Fulfilled. Revelation 27. When the 1,000 years are expired, he shall be loosed out of his prison. When they're expired, fulfilled, he's going to be loosed out of his prison. I think I got one more here.
So what happens 1,000 years before this?
Well, I mean, they just won the Battle of Armageddon,
mm-hmm.
right? And next week, hopefully, we're going to start looking at the judgment seat of Christ, which is going to clean up a lot more of this.
Right, because that's where the confusion in our finite minds are, in our itty-bitty, teensy-tiny minds. We're thinking, well, that means 1,000 years he had to be locked up. That means we've been on the earth ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, and at the end of the 1,000 years, he's released.
That's right.
Right?
From where?
Well, from his prison, where
right.
he was.
There are, so, okay, so.
So, did Armageddon happen at the beginning of the 1,000 years, where he was caught and captured and put into prison, or did it happen after the 1,000 years when he's released and brought back to the earth?
Well, Armageddon is clearly at the second coming of Christ. Clearly,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, like I said, there's an order of events on the day of the Lord.
Yeah.
First, he has to slaughter them before he judges them.
Right.
So the next event on this day is the judgment seat of Christ, where he separates sheep from goat, wheat from tare, good fish from bad fish.
Yeah.
Right? That's the event of the judgment seat of Christ. So
are you saying that millennium is kind of right in there?
No, I say the millennium starts at the wedding
so
on the day of the Lord.
So kind of happen simultaneously.
Yes.
And the cleanup and the anyway.
Yes.
So here's a question.
Yeah, come on.
Is 1,000 years really 1,000 years, or is one day of the Lord, or is 1,000 being fulfilled and expired? Like sometimes the Bible uses 1,000 meaning.
Well, it says
fulfilled.
Right. Yeah. So
I mean, I'm just I don't care
right.
to even go there, but I'm just saying.
But
well, I mean, clearly it's clearly a 1,000-year period. I'm not, but there, what I'm saying is there's more to the number 1,000 than just year after year. There's
right.
It's a kingdom. It's their kingdom. It's our kingdom. It's a point of judgment for them. So yeah, I do believe, you know. And it says it's talking about the second coming. When this, I hear this a lot, where people say, "Well, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years." So now I can apply it to however I want. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the second coming. But the promise of, 2 Peter says, the promise of his coming is as the day of the Lord. He's not slack concerning his promise. So the promises of the second coming, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So what did Jesus warn? Be ready against the third day. He's been gone 2,000. He's coming again, right? After 2 days, he will raise us up. At this Malachi, after 2 days, he will raise us up. 2 days, 1,000 years. That verse, that terminology is talking about his second coming. It does not mean that you can apply 1,000 to mean anything you want it to mean.
Right.
Right?
The Bible will have to tell you that.
Exactly.
Like it does with Adam dying less than 1,000 years.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
That's applicable because it matches the scriptures.
So
everything here in chapter 20 is basically spiritual, right?
I believe the literal and the spiritual.
Yeah, of course.
Well, because Armageddon's already happened.
Right.
All right.
Right, and they're now in their prison.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we're talking souls, we're not talking bodily.
We're getting at it. Right, I agree. Yet. Not bodily yet. There's a judgment seat.
And they will be resurrected into their spiritual bodies.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
I won't know.
Does not yet when I appear, what I should be, when he shall appear, I should be like him.
Yeah.
John chapter 5, 28-29 makes it clear. There's an hour of the resurrection of the blessed and of the damned. I take it literally. Okay, so about them being under us. Let me just read you some verses. Psalm 47:3, he shall subdue all people under us. The nations under our feet. Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day I rise up the prey, for my determination is to gather all nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured by my fire of my jealousy. Matthew 25:32, the sheep and the goat, and he shall gather all nations, and he shall separate them as one separated shepherd divided the sheep from the goat. So there's more. She's got them. There's a lot more where it talks about them being under us. Okay? So we talked about him being fulfilled. And then verse 8. Well, let's just keep reading. Okay, so 24. It says, and I saw thrones. Alan? And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. 24 and verse 4.
Chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 4 of chapter 20 of Revelation.
What event is this? 24, and I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. And they had worshipped the beast, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Hang on. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection, that the second resurrection?
No, second
death. Second death. Have no part or had no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So you have a resurrection, you have two parts to it, the blessed and the cursed, right? These, they're already dead. They're dead. Where did they, where are they? Okay, so this is clearly the thrones of judgment that Alan, we were reading and we were talking about. Revelation 3:9 and 3:21 is the same event. 3:9 says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, that say they are Jews, they are not, but do lie. I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Second coming, right? Judgment. They're going to come before us. Verse 21, he that overcometh, will I grant, oh, that's what I love this one, to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and sat down to my Father's throne. We inherit the throne. When he sits and judges, we are there at the judgment with him. It's the same event. Okay, so where am I? 27, he's going to be loosed out of his prison when the years are expired. They're fulfilled now. Okay, 28. And so here we go. Here's where it gets crazy. And shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters.
I read that wrong. And shall go out to deceive, not and deceive.
Okay.
To deceive.
No, good. Okay. To deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and a number of whom is the sand of the sea. So let's just break this down. He's going out to deceive them. Who is Gog? He's a principality. Is he on the earth? Or is he in the earth? He's in the earth, right? So he's going, now he's going to be loosed out of his prison, and he's going to go out into the nations that are in the bottomless pit and say, let's go. The portal is open. The sea is gone. The gulf between us and them is gone. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Right?
Now, this 1,000 years still has me kind of messed up here. All right? Because if it happens at the beginning of the 1,000 years, how can it happen at the end of?
There's no battle at the end. There's no, he wants the battle.
Yeah.
There is no battle. In Revelation 19, you saw a battle. Swords, slaughtering, blood, dead carcasses.
Well, that's why it doesn't say and deceive. It says to deceive. He's going out to deceive them.
That's right. That's right.
But if you say and deceive, it means and he brought them with
him. Exactly. So that's it. When they come up, there is no war.
Right.
All you, the first event is he devours them. Fire comes down, he devours them, and the next event is they're at the great white throne judgment being cast into the lake of fire. So the thousand, the Battle of Armageddon happens.
Right. Yeah, you got time. So the battle happens, right? They're pushed down into their prisons. All right, 1,000 years elapses.
Right. They're released.
Right.
When
they come out, they try to deceive the nations again, but God puts them into the second death.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
And like, but there is an event that takes place between Armageddon and them being cast down into hell. And that's the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
And it looks like they're voluntarily going to their own judgment.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're coming out. They're all going there thinking, this is what's going to happen.
That's right.
And God says, now go.
That's right. Yeah, I'll say it again. And the devil is leading the charge, and he's the one who's deceived.
Right.
So what makes me think they can't be deceived by following him? Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
So the judgment seat happens before this event.
Yes, yeah.
And that's why they're serving the prison
yes.
for 1,000 years.
Yes.
They've been judged.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. And not sentenced.
But the sentencing... Amen. That's just like our court systems here.
Yeah.
You're judged, you have, and then you go to jail, and then there's another court day where you have your sentencing. Very seldom do you have the sentencing on the same day of the court date.
Right.
Okay, so let me just...
Can we finish those two verses?
Yeah, go ahead.
And then, they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
There you go.
Now, case that again.
There's no war.
Came down, they came up.
That's right.
Fire came down.
That's right.
And then they were cast.
They never made it to the battle.
They never
That's
made
right.
it to the battle.
And, not only that, John, once again, when you look at, there's two judgments. One, Christ is coming here to judge the earth. This event, they're going to him. Okay, so let me just, I'll give you some verses about that dimension, the north country, the four quarters. He calls it the four quarters of the earth. Four quarters. And there's a north, which is the fourth one, all right? It's a bottomless pit. Hell is a bottomless pit.
Right.
It has no bottom. It's bottomless. It's dimensional. Okay, so listen to what it says, Jeremiah 6, 22, 23. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country. He's not talking about Canada, okay? A great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold of bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their horse roareth like the sea. They ride upon horses. Set array for men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. Daughter of Zion.
In Zion.
Zion.
This earth.
That's right. This is the battle they want.
On this planet.
That's right. Okay, so John, and there was a great day when the sons, we talked about this, about Job, where Satan came among them and he said, where'd you go, Satan? And he said, walking to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Proverbs talks about Mystery Babylon, right? Her way is the way to hell. Her going down to the chambers of death. There are chambers down there. There are prisons. There are holding pits. Okay, we can go on and on with that. There's more verses, Deuteronomy 32, Isaiah 14, 12, and Revelation 13. You know what? Let's look at it. Revelation 13. Listen to this. Tell me where they're going. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. They're going to lead us into captivity. They're going to kill us with the sword. And where are they going? Into their captivity. they are going to be killed with the sword. You see this? They're going to a place of captivity.
Right.
The deception is, you're out now.
I think our problem is we only see things on the linear,
yeah.
Right? On a linear, and there's one example that we haven't ever been taught to even look for.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the cause of all of this confusion.
I see it really cool too as Satan leads the lost into captivity, and
yeah.
I just read, we will be led into captivity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to,
yeah. So listen to the mentality of these people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about the second coming. But listen to these people. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. And even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness, of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. So they're the ones deceived, always deceived. Well, I don't understand why it's so hard to believe that these people can't be deceived again when they are released out of their pit.
Well, they're deceived to serve God's purpose.
That's right. God. That's right. That's right. God is allowing the deception. Let's try to wrap it up here. Revelation 20. So he talks about them as the sand of the sea. Okay, verse 8. And the number, so they're going to come up as the sand of the sea. The sand, that is a multitude of people. You know what God said about Abraham's children, children of faith? They are as the sand of the sea. That's everybody. A sand of the sea is not, I mean, how many people are going to survive on the earth during the millennial that are going to come to some battle in their human flesh, and they're going to be as the sand of the sea? That's them. That's all the unbelievers, all the devils coming up out of the pit as the sand of the sea. And like, I'm glad John covered it, because really, if you just keep reading, they come up, they're devoured, and the next event is they are being brought before the great white throne judgment, and they are cast into the lake of fire. So, I don't know if it helped. I did want to clear some things up. I do. For me, this is clear. I know. I got a gut feeling a couple of people see this.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt frustrated because I felt I left a lot on the table last week, and I thank you for pointing some things out to me. But to me, I just do your own diligence. Be a Berean. I'm not saying I'm right. I just believe this Bible. And to me, it seems to me they're coming up out of the pit.
I think that's interesting there when you're reading in 20 and verse 10 and 11, because it looks like Satan's cast into the lake of fire. Then the great white throne
right.
judgment
yes.
is there for
yes.
the rest.
Yes, exactly. That's right, because they're going to stand. What is the great? That's the second death, which means they had to die already. Well, I'm going to give you a hint for next week. They have to be resurrected.
Yeah.
Before the second death.
Again, they're calling up. The dead,
right.
The ocean gives up the dead that are in them.
Could you skip 2 weeks?
Yeah, you guys take 2 weeks.
We'll do something different.
Don't worry. The judgment seat, that's going to take about a year. There's a lot to it. So there's a resurrection. All right. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and that his words are in your book from cover to cover, page to page. Lord, I thank you for this group that we just believe the book. Lord, teach us to be Bereans and not to follow every wind of doctrine of men, but you teach us. You said that the Holy Spirit would teach us that this book is not for any private interpretation. The way to privately interpret is me just judging it by myself instead of comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, line upon line, precept upon precept. It is your book that divides these things. It is your book that teaches truth. And I thank you, Lord, that what you have taught us here today is truth. And I pray, Lord, if I'm wrong, hold it not against my brothers and sisters, but hold me and teach me. And you've been kind to me in teaching these things. Lord, I thank you for meeting us here. I pray for Curtis as he opens up more of the Word of God. Lord, just, we want to be right. There's a group of people here that don't want to be lied to, don't want to be fooled, and we want to be right with you. Help us, God. In Jesus' name.